Certainly is another beautiful Lord's Day He's given us. Certainly is a privilege and honor and opportunity to come out and to proclaim the Lord's Word unto you today. We're all truly blessed to be able to be here. There's a lot of people that's not able to be here. But I certainly am glad to be able to come out myself, and it's good to see each and every one of you here. My message tonight's going to be a little different than it's been before. It's a pretty good thing. There's some things that I've seen that a lady, she just turned 90 years old, and she wanted to give some bits of her wisdom for life, and it's some sayings, and some of them come right from the scriptures, very closely to that anyways. So I thought I'd share them with you, and as we go through, we're going to look at the scriptures that goes along with what we're saying here. I think she was very right. Someone who, she says she's written an article, and this is one that's been most requested of all. And so here's another copy of it. And she said that there's 45 things that she's learned in these years, and she wants to send them on. So anyways, she said, "My odometer rolled over 90 in August, so here's the column once more. It says, life isn't fair, but it is still good. It says, when in doubt, just take the next small step and move on. Yeah. It says, life is too short to be wasting time hating anymore." Well, I'm going to stop here on this one. I know sometimes in our lives people do things to us and it's very hurtful. I don't know what you've been through and you don't know what I've been through. But the fact of the matter is sometimes we do go through life holding hate in our heart, and we shouldn't. And she's perfectly right. Life is too short to waste time hating anyone. We hold ill will sometimes, and this is one that I can speak to you about because before I dedicated myself to the Lord, I'd hold that hate in, and I'd swear to get revenge against you, and I'd say that's going to be what I'll do if it's the last thing I do. I never would say nothing to anyone, but I'd keep it in and hold that in there and harbor it up. And it's a sad thing. It just eats you alive, having that in you. Go around having that ill feeling. But you know what? We should not be like that. As Christians, we can't be like that. Turn with me, if you would, to Titus chapter 3. And let's read a little bit. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. It says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit." You know, there may have been a time in our life where we was like that. But we are Christians. We can't be like that. That's the opposite of how that we should be. We should be filled with love. We should be filled with forgiveness. You know, and I know people relate to things different than other people do. And I know people do things to people that's a lot meaner than maybe that I have ever experienced in my life. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't change it any. We need to have forgiveness in our heart. We as Christians need to have love in our heart. You know, it describes God as being, that's who He is. That's what He is. God is love. And if we know God and we are His, then we should be about that ourselves. We need to be the ones who love and show love and have compassion and do the things that God has said for us to do. Amen. I know that you've heard me say it in times past, and I'll say it again. John chapter 14 and 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." That's one way that we show our love, is not us doing the things that He said for us to do, right? There are other ways of showing love, acts of kindness, going out of our way to do things for people and helping people. And, you know, sometimes it's just a kind word. Sometimes it's just a visit. Sometimes it's just letting people know that we care about them, that we love them from the bottom of our heart. Sometimes it's us going the extra distance to get along. I'm going to speak to the church some here in this specific thing too. You know what? We sometimes, we have problems with one another. We need to go for what the Bible says. If I got a problem with you, I need to go to you and I need to work that problem out. I don't need to allow it to spread amongst the church. I don't need to tell everybody else but you. I need to go to you and work that problem out. Because that's what the Scriptures tell us to do. If we've got problems with someone, we go to that person and we work that out. You know what? And that's the shedding of good light on us. You know what? If we work our lives, our whole lives too, and it don't mean just in the church. That's a good policy with everybody else too. If you've got a problem with someone, you go to them. And you talk to them about that problem. You ask them about that. Whatever it may be. The world sees that. You know what? They perceive that and they think, hey man, you got something going on there. That works real good. Well, could you tell me a little more about it? May give you that opportunity that you need to talk to them about your Lord. You know, but when we fuss and we bicker and we argue and we spread gossip through the congregation, we tell everybody but the one that we got the problem with, we're just like the world. Except we're worse because we're wearing that name as a Christian around. See? But we need to have love one another. The true measure spoken to his disciples in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. What was it? The proof that they were his disciples. What was it? Exactly. They'll know that you're my disciples by the way you love one another. Well, I know he's talking to his disciples there, but he's talking to you and me too. That's the true measure today of the Lord's disciples. The ones who are truly the Lord's, who truly belong to the Lord, they have love in their hearts. And they love one another. They live their lives in a way that they show love. It's not this that I love you thing and then turn and walk away and don't help you or don't have anything to do. It's the love that you know it. When you see me, you feel it. You know that I'm for real. That it comes from the heart. Whatever I do, I care about you. I care about each and every one of you here tonight. And I share this love. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. You know what?
Amen.
I share a very special bond with you because of that. But you know what? We don't even need to let it stop there. We need to show it to the world too. There's people out there that nobody shows any love to. There's people that don't have absolutely anybody. They don't have friends. They don't have the Lord. They don't have good brothers and sisters in Christ that they can count on when they need something. We need to be about the Father's business. We need to be showing that love out there too. But you know what? We need to be one mind, one accord. We need to be, just like it began, the day of Pentecost, we need to be focused and thinking on doing the works of the Lord and how can I do it? And how can we work together and get along and strive for that? All through the Gospel of John, he talks about that love and everything. He talks all through it. You know, the Lord, he has that agape love. He has that love that's totally unconditional for us. We know more about love than anybody does, don't we? Jesus, His only begotten Son that He gave for our sins. And not just only our sins. We might be the ones that share a special interest in that. But He did it for the whole world. You know, that is the message of the Gospel. He didn't just do it for me and you. And He didn't just do it for good people. He did it for the most vile and the worst person too. You know? And some of us have been there and been that person that's not all that good and that's not great, that's not wonderful, that's not the one that's been pleasing to God. But those are the ones who need it the worst. The people who are the hardest ones to love, they're the ones that need it more than anybody does. That's the thing. That's the key to changing people. That's the key to helping people. That's the key to reaching out to people as you show love and compassion and care. You know, we don't need to be known as the ones who we think we're better than everybody else and we think we're more holier and everything because we go every time the doors is open and all this or because we're a, quote, Christian. We need to be humble.
Amen.
We need to be compassionate. We don't need to be judging. We need to be helpful. We need to be that helping hand, that kind, caring heart. That's the ones that reach out to the world and accomplish what God has for us to do. One of these here, and what I was getting into there, a little ahead of myself, says, she says, in the end, all that truly matters is that you loved. That's where this comes from. It is. And that is one of the very keys. You can't be a Christian, and you can't be pleasing to God if you don't have love in your heart. You know, we're awful whenever we go about trying to do the works of God and not have love in our hearts. You know what? We're the most, I don't know how to term it exactly, but we're self-seeking, or actually it's in vain too. You know, I know people who will tell you the truth, that are good people, that's honest people, and I've seen them in my life. But you know what? They hurt more people's feelings, and they run more people away from the Lord than you can ever bring back, because not showing love and compassion. And it's the same thing. You know, if I had one message to speak to you and I had to choose from any one that I ever spoke, it would be your love. Amen. Because there ain't near enough of it.
Right.
To go around. If you look in our society, it's the most loveless society you ever seen. People not really caring about other people. You know, the Bible talks about it, lack of affection one for another. We see the worst kinds of it on our news and hear it on the radios. And we need to be the ones putting that back in. We need to be the ones letting our light shine, taking that back and changing it. You know, when you have people that feel like nobody loves them and nobody cares about them, we need to be letting them know that there is somebody. I love you. I care about you. I'll do whatever it takes to help you out. And the reason I do is because my Lord. It ain't because I'm no good person. I'm a sinner saved by grace. You know? It ain't because Darrell's a good guy. You know? It's because I serve a good God.
Amen.
It's because I serve a great God. It's because I serve an awesome God who showed me His love.
Amen.
And I need to be showing others that love. That's what brings people to Christ. It says, your job won't take care of you when you're sick. It says, your friends and your parents will stay in touch. You know what we see in our society, because we move around and it's freely that we can. We can get in cars and we can drive hundreds of miles away. It's no big deal. We move around. We don't stay like it used to be. You know, people get married and their kids get married and they'd all live right over in one little clump. They had property and whatever, and they'd fix them a place to stay, and everybody stayed like that. But it ain't like that no more. You know, and I think that's one thing that's lost too. It makes it easier for us to not have the kind of relationships we should with our family.
Amen.
And with our friends. And we're not there for them, even if we care about them. But we need to be. We need to be. I can't set the proper example to the world if I don't care about my family. If I don't take the time. If I ain't there for them. That's the facts of the matter. And any relationship we have is like that. If you got a good friend, you can't just talk to them every once in a while. You got to further that relationship. You gotta talk to them. You gotta be in touch. It's the same way with the Lord. We need to make sure that we go the distance too. Make sure we talk to the Lord. Make sure we commune with the Lord. We read His Word. We study His Word, showing ourselves approved unto Him. That we stay in touch. You know, sometimes we get all busy, and I know about being busy, well as any of you do in your life. Having to do things you got to do to make a living. But the fact of the matter is, make priorities and take care of what's most important.
Amen.
That's what you got to do. It don't amount to nothing. If I'm a preacher up here and everybody knows it, and I don't see about my family, if I ain't there for my friends, I'm a pretty worthless person, ain't I? It's the truth. So we got to take the times for the things that's important in our lives. It's life short and it's fleeting fast. It's going by. We need to make sure that we take care of things. And since I started out on that note, it ain't your job that's going to take care of you when you see it. It's your friends and your parents. That ain't the reason that you're doing it. You're doing it because you love them. Because you care about them. Because that's the way that the Lord would be. And that's the way He wants us to be. You know how many people don't have nobody to see about them? No matter what the reason is too. I see some people and they'll say, oh, they deserve that. They sowed that. Whatever. Nobody deserves that. Everyone deserves to have somebody to care for them, to be there for them, to do whatever they need, to be there. Sometimes it's just a listening ear. That's what people need sometimes. We live in a society that's totally absorbed. You got so many things that you can have to entertain you. Anything that you want. You know, we're the age of technology, right? That's one of the primary things, too, that takes us away from having a good kind of relationship that we don't have one with another. So we need to take the time. Yeah, sure, it's all right to watch TV and I like to as well as anybody, but sometimes we need to turn that thing off. Spend some time with our family. Spend some time with our friends. That's the most important thing. We need to be taking care of the weightier matters of the law. That's what I'm talking to you about tonight.
Amen.
That's important. That's what is important. If we don't sow those things, if we don't instill those things in people, you know what? One of these days, there won't be nobody to carry this on. Here's another one too. It says, you don't have to win every argument. Sometimes we think we do, don't we? We think we got to win every argument, don't we? Sometimes we need to agree to disagree. You say, whoa, wait a minute here now. Yeah, sometimes we do. We need to learn too. You know, because there's many issues in the Bible that's laid out there in black and white. We ought to agree on them. I think we ought to agree on more of them. But the fact of the matter is there's certain things that ain't just black and white. There's a little gray area there. You know what I'm saying? And the fact of the matter is on those issues, you don't got to see it like I do, and I don't got to see it like you do, and I don't have to just keep on till I, you know, what, run y'all from the church? But no, sometimes we're like that. We shouldn't be really arguing and fussing and bickering about things, but you see churches sometimes split down the middle because of it, don't you? Certain issues. When it don't have to be. You know, and I use an example, and you've heard me say it probably plenty of times. It's just like, oh, what's heaven going to be like? Us fussing about that. Who cares? Just try to get there. Just work toward getting there and taking as many people with you as you can.
Amen.
But I tell you what, I've seen people be so hateful and awful over stuff just as silly as that right there. And you say, oh, baby, that ain't silly. If it causes people to lose their souls, not to never put their foot in the door, was it worth it to win that argument? That's the question I got to ask you. No, it certainly was not. That's sometimes we're right even when we're wrong, ain't it? Yeah, I may have the scriptures to back up exactly what I'm saying, but when I go about it in a way that ain't loving, that ain't caring, that ain't kind, then I'm wrong, even though I might be saying the right thing. I'm saying it in the wrong way. Because that ain't me showing love even then. But we need to agree to disagree sometimes. It's okay. That's better than seeing souls go to hell, ain't it? Absolutely. It says cry with someone. It's more healing than crying alone. Don't you imagine it is? It's nice to have someone there sharing your burdens. Being there with you. Being there for you. It says, make peace with the past so that it won't mess up the present. I see lots of times people going through life and things that went on in the past, and they allow the things that's in the past to mess up the future and the present. You know what? If the Lord can forgive us of all unrighteousness and cleanse us of our sins, surely we ought to be able to forgive ourselves, shouldn't we? And we certainly ought to be able to forgive others. Ain't that right? You know, in the Lord's Prayer, we ask the Lord to forgive us of our trespasses as, in the same way that I forgive others. Boy, I'd be hurting her sometimes, wouldn't I? Ouch. Well, you on my toes there, ain't you, preacher? Better where you still toes are tonight, huh? But it's the truth. Lord, we pray. How can we expect the Lord to forgive us of our sins when we're not willing to forgive other people? You know, it's like that passage you talked about, you know, saying that we love God and we haven't seen God, but yet we can have hate or unforgiveness toward somebody who's made in the very image of God. Somebody who He loved so much, the same as us, same as everyone else. How can we have that? How can I even go before God and ask Him for forgiveness if I won't forgive other people? Well, I can't, can I? That's where you need to work out the things. Work out the things in your past. So it don't mess up the present. So it don't mess up the future. Allow yourself to have peace with it. You know, lots of times it don't work out like what we had planned. But it's in the past, ain't it? Let it go. Move on. The Lord wants us to heal. We can't heal without forgiveness. Forgiveness is for me and you too, by the way. You know, many times it don't even change the person that you've got this ill will toward, or that you're not wanting to be forgiven for. I know that Scripture even talks about that too, especially with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We rebuke that person. They don't want to repent. The Scripture even talks on the basis that that you don't have to forgive that person. But the fact of the matter is, it's for you. That forgiveness is in it. Yeah. So I believe that you should forgive. I believe that you should forget. I believe that you need to move on in your life. Lots of things we don't have control of anyway, you know. But we do have control over how we're going to be with what happens, don't we? That's the only thing we do have control of. I don't have control about what goes on in my job for the most part. Just a little bit. You know, I have a little bit of say there. But for the most part, I don't. A lot of other people do. But you know what? I do have control of how I act, how I conduct myself, and what I do concerning right and wrong within that scope, don't I? And I'm accountable to God for it. I don't have a lot of control in my life sometimes, too. Seems like you just have to do it. You have to play the hand that's dealt to you. But I still do have. It's up to me how I am with it. Whether I'm happy, whether I'm contented, whether I make the best, even of a bad situation. If we can look at it in some positive way, if we can do things in that way, it helps us to make it through. It says it's okay to see your children cry, or your children to see you cry. It says don't compare your life with others and you have no idea what their journey is all about. You know, we look at it like that sometimes. We think, we get thinking sometimes ours ain't all that good because we look around and we think other people's is good. No. Well, they're better off than I am. Well, whoop-dee. Just think of how good you really got it. Just focus on how it really is with you. You know, that's sort of like comparing children. Well, there ain't no comparison to children. Really? Everyone's their own unique individual, right? But we like to do that. We shouldn't want to do that, though. But it's not a good thing that we ought to do, for sure. Well, there's one in here. Let me see if I can find it. It says, okay, if we threw all our problems in a pile and we saw everyone else's, we'd grab ours right back, wouldn't we? That's true. That's true. Many times we sit there and we'll be having this big old pity party about how things ain't all right. You know, it's just badness and all. But if you could just really pile them out there where you could see how many you got and you see how many everybody else has got too, you'd be going, oh, I think I'll take these gladly. And it's the truth. We don't really know. That's the thing of it. We lead ourselves to believe a lie whenever we think things are. It comes from not being thankful to God. For whatever you have. However little it is and however much it is. Good question to ask yourself though. It says, frame every so-called disaster with these words. In 5 years will this matter? I'm going to put it in perspective. I'll go a little further. When judgment day comes, one day will it really matter? That changes things significantly, don't it? We go around worrying about a lot of things that ain't really going to be significant one day, right? Yeah, I realize we have to live in this world. But my point is we make too big of a lot of things that ain't really all that important at all. We put priorities too on things that's not even really important at all. And we don't put priorities on things that really are important.
Right.
When it comes down to it, it ain't imperative to you getting to heaven, somebody else getting to heaven. You know, we studied from Ecclesiastes this morning. They said that in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, where he's talking about how that came into the world naked, and certainly you will leave out of here with nothing. You're not going to drag nothing out. You know, those that are hanging on to everything that they got, you're not taking. It's in the last part of that chapter 5 there of Ecclesiastes. But you came in naked, and that's the way you're going to leave. So in essence, all these physical things and all these things we've seen, boy, they really matter. How much money? What kind of house we got? What kind of car we drive? What kind of clothes we wear? What people think about us? There's a good one here. I like this. And it says, what people think about you is none of your business. You think, well, that sounds kind of stupid. No, I think it's some of the greatest wisdom there is. How many times do you go around worrying about what people think about you? How many times do you let it affect what you do and how you do it and how you act? So in truth and reality, what other people think of you is none of your business. We do. A lot of people go around and they live their whole life worrying about what people think about you. You know what? A better question is, what does God think about you? That's the focus. Let's focus on the spiritual things. What does God really think about you? Does He think you're a good servant of His, a diligent servant of His? Does He think that you're going to see Him because you're worried about what somebody thinks of you? I tell you what, you ain't going to get very far in serving the Lord if you're going to worry about what people think about you sometimes. You're going to fail. You're going to fall. You're not going to succeed if you care more about that than you do what God thinks about you. When I stand before Him one day, I want it to be where I live my life in such a way that I live it in a way that I care about what He thought about it more than I did what my man thinks about it. A lot of times what man thinks about you ain't no good, no man. A lot of times it's wrong. For the most part, I'd say it probably is wrong. Sometimes it's right, maybe, but everybody don't know the whole picture. That's the thing. See, we just see what we see, and we see little bleak glimpses of things, and then we take on to make a judgment on it sometimes, and it wasn't even that at all. And besides, we don't even know what somebody's going through. You know, when somebody's having a hard time, and you can tell they are, we need to just always consider and give someone the benefit of the doubt. I don't know what they're going through. You know, they're usually a nice person, and a good person, a sweet person. All of a sudden, they're gripey and cranky and maybe flying off the handle and being ugly. I need to consider and say, hey, I don't know what you're going through, but I love you and I care about you. If I can help you, I will, and I need to be praying for it. See? But we're not always like that. We get in there and just go off the handle too, don't we? Man, that ain't what the Lord has us to do. That's not what we're about. We got to live our lives to that different standard. We got to let our light shine so that other people can see the Lord. That'll want to come to Him. It says here, everything can be changed in the blink of an eye, but don't worry, God never blinks. That's the truth. It don't matter what situation we're in or going through, no matter how good it is, no matter how bad it is, it's going to change. And it's a good thing with God to know that it can change that quick, but He don't ever blink. He's there. With us and for us, He promised us. He'd never leave us. He'd never forsake us. He'd always be there with us as Christians. You know, that's not to say that we can't get away from Him. That's not to say that we can't forsake Him. Hopefully that would never happen. But the truth of the matter is that we see it happening, don't we? We see it every day, don't we? We see people we know that love the Lord that is good people. And we see them not there no more. And it's a shame. It's a disgrace. We need to be about doing whatever we can to keep that from happening, to help that, and to whatever the Lord would do in that situation, we need to be about it. You know, we naturally have, or I sure do anyways, I have a way of thinking that I like to fix things. You know, when I see a problem, I want to try to help somebody and figure out some way that I can, you know. What can I do? I ponder on these things a lot of times. That's exactly how we need to be as Christians. I ain't put myself up on no pedestal. Don't have nothing to do with that. It's just, that's the way my brain works. Sorry. I want to fix problems. It's bad sometimes. I wake up 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm thinking about things and my brain's trying to fix things. You know, and I need to be sleeping because I got to get up in an hour or two and go to work. But the fact of the matter is that's on my mind. That's in our brain. But that's the way we need to be as Christians. We need to have it on our mind. We need to be thinking on how we can fix things, how we can help people. What can we do for the kingdom of the Lord?
Amen.
We need to be about that. That's the way that it needs to be. We're the Lord's hands. We're the Lord's feet. We're the Lord's mouthpieces here. We're the ones showing love and compassion or not. We're the ones to bring people to the Lord. That needs to be our primary focus. There's one thing here that says, get rid of anything that isn't useful, beautiful, or joyful. I guess that means you're going to have to go home and clean out your closets, right? Throw away whatever you got in your garage. I know some of you are going to be saying, well, this is beautiful to me. Okay, I'd probably say that about a few things too. But the fact of the matter is that is a good thing. Something that's not useful, if it's not beautiful, it's joyful. The Lord wants things to be useful. We don't really need things or something that ain't useful, really. Maybe it's something that brings us joy. Maybe it's something that's beautiful. So that gives you a couple other things there. But it certainly is true that we probably hoard up a whole lot more than we need. We hoard up what we want. But that can't be our priority. We got to be about things of the Lord. We got to be spiritually minded. We got to be focused on those things. says, whatever doesn't kill you really does make you stronger. You ever went through really, really hard times and it seems like, well, I don't think I'm going to make it through this. This is just rough. This is just more than I can stand. You know what? When we get through that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. When I get through that valley, you know what? Made us stronger. Built us up. Made us more like what God wanted us to be. Yeah, we are going to make it through because we got the Lord on our side.
Amen.
If God's for us, who can be against us? Who can honestly win against the Lord and someone who's willing to do what God wants them to do? The devil can't. His workers can't. It's impossible. That ain't to say that we won't stumble sometimes and we won't be able to keep God's law perfectly. But the fact of the matter is we have a majority on our side as Christians. If we'll commit ourselves to saying, well, I'm going to do right in this situation, no matter what anyone else does. We have the Lord with us and for us, and He will lead us through that valley. He will build us up. He will make us strong. He will hold us in His right hand. No one is charged of your happiness but you. That goes back kind of to one of the things that I was talking about earlier, whatever situation we may be in. I'm in control of how I am about what goes on there. I may not be in control of what is going on, but I'm in control of me in that situation. You know, a lot of situations we can look and step back from and say, what in this am I in control of? Me, right? And I'm accountable for me, right? And you're accountable for you. And you need to make the right decisions, and I need to make the right decisions too. Forgive you everyone and everything. Talked about that a little bit earlier. We need to do that. We need to be forgiving. Time heals almost everything. Give time, time. Time certainly does help things, no doubt about that. We do know that as things, years goes by, it seems to have a healing effect. We don't make it us feel any better about it, maybe, but it just makes the hurt not as much is the thing about it. We eventually, time helps things to heal, no matter how bad things are, and helps us to make it through, no doubt. Says God loves you because of who God is and not because of anything you did or you didn't do. This kind of sums up His mercy, don't it? His grace, don't it? Kind of. You know, and it is. There's nothing I can do to make me good enough that I deserve to go to heaven. There's nothing that I didn't do, probably, as well. But the fact of the matter is with the Lord, He can forgive everything. He will forgive everything. He wants us to be whole. He's the great physician. He can make us spiritually well. He wants us to be that new creation. Many times it's up to us whether we take that on or not. It says, don't audit life. Show up and make the most of it now. That's exactly how we need to be as Christians. We need to show up. We need to make the most of it. And we need to do it right now. We don't need to be waiting for tomorrow. We need to do it right now. We need to be accomplishing the things. We don't need to be waiting. It says, growing old beats the alternative, dying young. It says, your children get only one childhood. And with this, I threw in a few. Proverbs talks about, in chapter 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We need to make sure that we accomplish the things that we need to accomplish while it's going on, and it's now. We need to be instilling in our children and our grandchildren, and not just them, everyone that we have opportunity to influence, because we do have, for the Lord and for God and for what's right. We need to be teaching them, showing them in our lives. That needs to be the example that we set, that good example. In Ephesians 6:4, fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's the way we need to be. You only get one shot at it. And it's just like this with your life too. You get one shot at this thing. You need to get it right. You need to accomplish the things that need to be accomplished. Tomorrow we may die. Today we may die. The Lord may call us home. We may not make it out of here today. I may never see you again when I leave this building today. I have no promise that I will ever see you again. Except that me and you both make it to heaven. That's the only promise that I got that will. But you never know. Life is so fragile. It's fleeting. It's flying by. It says envy is a waste of time. You already have all you need. We look around, we say, hey, you got a whole lot there, man. You got more than I do. Man, I wish I had what you have. Me and this one old boy at work, I tease him about it. I said, man, I go by and I said, man, I wish I had your job. And he always tells me that same thing. Man, I wish I had your job. I told him one day, I said, well, you can have my job. But anyhow, we always tease each other, and it's kind of a funny thing, but we kind of have that attitude. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalms chapter 37. Let's read just a little bit there. Verses 1 through 10, it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust always in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his plagues, and it shall not be. There's your comparison of the evil and wanting what they got and thinking, looking out there and seeing all those people cheating and stealing and doing things that's wrong and saying, man, they're just so blessed. I wish I had what they got. Well, you be careful what you wish for. You might just get it. If you want to get out there and do the same illegal, awful things they're doing, you're going to get it, that's for sure. And you're going to be just like it says here. I personally, myself, don't want to be cut down like the grass or the withered like the green herb. Do you? No. I'd rather be on this other side of it, hadn't you? Delight thyself in the Lord. Commit my ways unto the Lord. Trust in him and watch him bring it to pass. I don't know how many times that I prayed for things and I seen the Lord, I trusted, I committed to him, and he brought it to pass. That's an awesome blessing, ain't it? We ask the Lord God Almighty, the creator of the universe, for things, and he answers our prayers. Look at that board over there. How long ago was that board just full? Man, there's a row here and another one there at one particular time. How long has it been my daddy wasn't even here? Man, there it is. Now, I know it wasn't just me, y'all. I understand that. But praying to the Lord and asking him. We have this access to the Lord God Almighty. Do we ever thank the Lord? Do we ever say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that there's only three on that board. And I wish it was clean. Amen. I wish there wasn't even nobody on that. And those that's on earth, I sure remember them in my prayers. They've already been in my prayers. Some of them have. And I continue that they are in my prayers. But we need to be thanking the Lord because they ain't me on that board right there, don't they? Because we know we've done this right here, and he's heard, and he's listened, and he's answered. And it shows he is the great physician. We should never doubt the Lord. We should never. We should know that he knows what is best. That don't mean he answers it just like we ask it sometimes, because sometimes I don't even know what to ask for. Whatever I'm asking for might even be the wrong thing, but he knows I care. He knows I love, and he knows this is on my mind, and I'm asking for him to help. The scriptures in there talk about too that the Spirit making intercession for us because we don't even know what to ask for. He just wants us to ask. He just wants us to have that kind of relationship with him where we're in touch and we're clinging to him, we're supported by him, and we know that he's there for us and with us, and he can do something about it. We need to be asking. I know he thinks we ask for stuff all the time. I know I do. I'm also thankful too, because when he answers, I'm thankful for however he answers to. If it ain't even the way that I asked for it to be, I'm thankful he knows better than I do, because I can mess it up in a little bit just like I do other things. See, everything we have control of, we can mess it up. It says, life isn't tied with a bow, but it's still a gift. No doubt about that. It also says, the best is yet to come. If we're Christian, man, I guarantee you, the best is yet to come. It don't matter how good this life is. It don't matter how bad this life is. And our mind won't even go far enough to comprehend how good it's going to be. But it's going to be. And we can trust in the Lord. We can know that it is going to be. And we can see how beautiful His creation is. We can look out and, like Dylan said, it's a beautiful Lord's Day. Just beautiful weather. It's sunshine all around. We're so blessed. Our health is good as it is, even though it might not be as good as it has been. But you know what? We're able to be here. Man, I'm thankful. There are people that can't be here. There are people that give anything they got for the health you've got right now. I guarantee you. Just go to the hospitals if you don't believe it. So we need to be thankful. Nelson talks about this life here a little bit. It says, Nelson says, God is the source of life. It is a gift from Him. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it said, He filled Adam with the breath of life. He breathed into him and he became a living soul. In Psalms chapter 36 and verse 9, it says, For with you is the fountain of life. It's talking about God, so it's talking about. You know, I know people that's wasted their life looking for the fountain of youth, right? It's a similar thing to this. It's just something that's life-giving. It's something that keeps you alive forever, right? That's what I'm talking to you about. For with Him is the fountain of life. We can all have and free off. And everyone can have too. The sad part about it is they're just going to be a few that's going to get it. But we need to make sure that everyone that can and will get it. We need to be working toward that. Talks about this a little bit. It says in the New Testament, it's expanded on the Old Testament idea of life. It says the word life began to refer more to the physical existence. We know what that is for sure. This life surely is, no doubt. But it really goes on to a spiritual meaning often too. Referred in the spiritual life that results from man's relationship with God. Eternal life means more than just eternal existence. Eternal life refers to eternal fellowship with God. This is eternal life, Jesus declared, that you may know that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, in John chapter 17, verse 3. Eternal life is the highest quality of life. According to the Apostle Paul, it is freedom from sin, it's holiness, and it is a positive relationship with God. This is a contrast to spiritual death, which results from a life of sin. Romans chapter 6, verses 21 through 23. Eternal life comes from faith in Jesus Christ. He taught, He that believeth, that continuing thing, in me has eternal life, in John chapter 6 and verse 47. The symbolic meaning of life appears frequently in the Gospel of John. Of Jesus, John wrote, In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, in John chapter 1 and verse 4. So we have this life, we have this spiritual life. We're going to receive eternal life one day. We're going to get to live forever and ever. It's going to be in results of us having that positive relationship with the Lord. We are in Christ. And the Bible tells us how that we can be in Christ. And there's one specific way that you can get there. That little path is narrow. You got to follow in those narrow paths, like that one that Jesus walked, to be in Christ, to be in that relationship with Him. And some people say there's many ways. The place I'm going, there are not many ways. There's just one. And it's a narrow little path. And there are few people that's on that path, too. If you're not on that path, if you're not in Christ, then you're lost. And I'm not judging you neither. That's according to the Scriptures. And He tells you how that you can be in Christ, you can be baptized into Christ, you can put on Christ, and you can know that you're in that relationship with Him and that you're doing the things He has for you to do. And it ain't just that we are in Him. In that Scripture it says, not the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. You know, the light figure we're into baptism does also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of that good conscience toward God. You having that. It's two things then, ain't it, then? It's that, yeah, you are washed in the blood and that your conscience is clear between God. And then, you know what, we got to live our lives continuing on with that conscience good and clear. And the only way to do that is to do the things He asks you to do. And when you don't, He falls short of His glory. You ask Him for forgiveness. And He gives it to you. He just gives it to you. He says, okay. His answer is yes. We repent. We stop doing. We do what's right the next time. We're built up and made strong. And the Lord loved us so much, we need to have love in our heart. This is my message to you here tonight. If you're a child of the Lord, you'd like our prayers with you and for you. If there's anything that we can do to help you, tonight comes, we sing this song. Let's
Softly and tenderly.